Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night, and this is a very special edition of Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. And it's very special because of the way this interview tonight came about. I'm not really happy about the circumstances behind how this interview came about or the reason that this interview came about. But I understand why and how tonight my interview is with somebody that I consider one of the most talented wrestlers in the tri-state area. One of the nicest guys I've ever met in professional wrestling. And somebody that I am happy to call not just a friend, but in my mind, absolutely a brother, and somebody that I hope I know for life. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest, Mark Magnum.
What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. You've had a rough 24 to 36 hours. And that's part of why I asked you to be on tonight. Let's talk about it.
I mean, like I said on social media, it's not, you know, the ideal way I wanted to go out. But, I mean, I don't know. I have a lot of damage to my back. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's not even just my back. But, I mean, I have a lot of damage to my back. And the lower part of my back has shifted to the left. And, you know, it's at a stage 2, stage 3 situation right now to where, I mean, the doctor told me it's not irreversible. It's not reversible or anything. It's treatable, but it's not reversible. I mean, I also have a heart problem to where now I'm on medication. So, I mean, it's just the accumulation of doing what I've done for the last 10 years that has kind of caught up to me to where we're at where we're at. And I kind of feel bad in a way because I feel like I'm disappointing people because I had things going on at, you know, Battle on the Border, and I had the Top Guns, and I had, you know, things going on at Future Great Wrestling out in Hamilton, and I was trying to do other things on top of that in wrestling, and it just kind of, I don't know, it just got to a point where I, you know, after getting told a bunch of things from doctors and, you know, laying in traction beds and things like of that nature, you just kind of realize, you know, at almost 39 years old that your body's just kind of not failing you, but it's giving you signs that it's time to go gracefully as opposed to wrestle for another year or two and, you know, your body just totally give out on you. I mean, I've got 2 kids at home. So, I, you know, I've got to worry about them and their welfare because I love wrestling and I always will and I'm going to stay a fan, but wrestling has never paid my bills. You know, I mean, it's paid for my gas. It's paid for me eating that night or whatever the case may be, but wrestling has never paid my bills. I've never been fortunate enough to be in depth with the business that much to where it could pay my bills like that. And for me, as a guy that has a shoot job and works every day, I've got to think of my child, or children, I should say, and my wife, and the life that I've got right now, and go forward from it. So it was obviously a very hard decision because, I mean, I could have kept going, I guess, if I wanted to. It was more of a precautionary measure, but for me, I live every day in pain. Like my back, I'm in pain every single day. And then on top of my, you know, the heart condition, no, not the heart condition, but my blood pressure issues and whatnot. And it's, like I said, it's just a way of my body's kind of slowly telling me it's time to shut it down and not keep doing this. And that's kind of where I'm at, man.
You know, I'm not going to lie. You and I have known each other for about 9 years now.
Yep.
And I'm not going to lie. When I read that, I got a little bit emotional. Because, like
I
said,
I
consider you, like I said right before you came on, I not only consider you a friend, I consider you a brother. And to know that this dream has to end in this way, it made me sad.
Trust me, it makes me sad because, like, in the last year or so, since my middle daughter's been born, I watched back the footage. I always do. That's, you know me. That's how I've always been. And I watched back the footage and just, like, see the joy in her eyes when I come out during the match, whether I was heel, whether I was face, just the, like, the pop from her. And, you know, it kind of hurts me in a way that my son will never see that. He'll never know, you know, his dad like that. And it kind of hurts in a way, but at the same time, I'm doing it for them. I'm doing it for my children and not being selfish. And I'm going to keep going and just run my body into the ground and, you know, make it to where it's all about me. Like, it's not about me. It's more important than me. And I realize that. And this, I don't want to say it's time to grow up because that's I will never say that. But it's time for me to just open my eyes, realize, you know, the levity of the situation, and make a decision. And trust me, it's not a popular decision in my house. You know, I talked to my wife about it at length for days before the appointment because I was kind of nervous. And, you know, it's one of those things where it is what it is. I mean, trust me, in the last, you know, 24 to 48 hours, I've had my dark moments and my time to reflect and the time for me to think of, you know, everything I've done and where I've been and the people I've been in the ring with and appreciate the time that I've had. Because I'm not going to be ungrateful or be regretful or be spiteful or be bitter. You know, it's not about that at this point. It's for me to appreciate the people I've been in the ring with, you know, the Dre Jacobs or the Ryan Michaels or the Eric Follins or the Cody Hawks or the Bobby Fultons or the, you know, the Buff Bagwells or whoever I've been in the ring with, the Ryan Freemans. I mean, just some of the guys that I've had even on the indie level, you know, because I'm not, you know, a WWE guy or a WCW guy or none of that crap. I'm just a local Ohio wrestler that happened to have a chance to dance around this country and perform and kind of make it, you know what I mean? Not make it, but I mean, I'm fine with what I've done. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and have sour grapes or be salty, but I know I'm going to miss it. I know that. I knew it when I posted what I posted on social media that I could probably still go. I will say that now because there's people out there thinking that, you know, I couldn't still go. I could still go. But I'm in so much pain on a daily. I mean, it's not like a couple of days a week. I'm in pain every day. Every single day I walk this earth, I'm in pain. And between that and then the my chest issues, my blood pressure, whatever, but the combination of all that just made me just make the decision and look at my kids and my wife. And like I said, I talked at length with my wife about it, and it was one of those things where it's time. And I'm not going to sit there and, because I know me. I'm going to get roped into the first show and the second show and the third show. And before I know it, 2019 is over. And I've wrestled another year and put more punishment on my body. And I'm good with it, you know. I mean, I'm not happy about, you know, the timing, because FGW was about to start out in Hamilton. And I mean, I just won a contract at Battle on the Border back in September. And, you know, that's all kind of been squandered away. Or, you know, I feel like Denim kind of gave me an opportunity that I'm not going to be able to capitalize on now because of what's going on. And, you know, I hate that it's come to this, but I can't, there's not much I can do.
Well, you know, let's talk about some of the positives in your career, because there have been a hell of a lot of them.
Yeah.
What's been some of your favorite memories?
A lot of my favorite memories are the road, and that's kind of something I, you know, touched on in the post that I made, you know, last night about just the locker room camaraderie and, you know, the before the show and even the after the show, just hanging out with the brothers and the sisters and some of the road trips and some of the road stories and just the traveling from Mississippi to Ohio and traveling from the, you know, Illinois to Ohio or Indiana to Ohio or North Carolina to Ohio. And just some of the stories, some of the memories, some of the fans I've met along the way that have kind of, in the last couple of days, have kind of let me know how important I really was. Because I said it on my, you know, my Mark Magnum page that, you know, you don't realize how much you're missed until you're gone. And, you know, I've done a decent amount. I'm not Hulk Hogan. I'm not The Rock. I'm not Stone Cold. I'm not none of those guys. I'm not going to be remembered in that way, and that's fine. I know. I understand. I get it. But the outpouring of love that has been showed to me in the last day or so, and the people that have reached out to me, and the promoters, and the fans, and the, you know, colleagues of mine that have showed me the respect and the love that I, you know, that they hold for me, kind of validates what I've done in the last 10 years. I mean, like I've said, you know, I was, you know this because you were the one that pointed it out. I was published in PWI magazine twice in 2015. I mean, there's a lot of guys that'll never be able to say that. You've got guys that want to act like they've done this or done that, and I'm not trying to be any of those guys, but I know that no matter what I've done in my career, my name will live forever. I mean, now those magazines I hold coveted in my collection of other magazines I have, because, you know, I rifled through the magazines as a child and as an adult and a teen or whatever, and look back and, you know, my name's mentioned in the same name with greats, and my name's in the same magazine with greats. And for me to even have that small accomplishment, it's minuscule, to be honest. It's minor to look back on it. But for me to be a guy that, you know, grew up in rural Ohio, you know, southwestern Ohio, that, you know, I was, you know, middle class. We weren't rich, we weren't poor, but I grew up that I didn't have to want for nothing, and it was what it was. But to be able to come from that and a poor education and just to become what I did become, I'm not going to have, you know, any sour grapes, man. I'm proud of what I've done in this business and the things that I've done and the promoters that have allowed me to, you know, go on a platform and showcase what I can do. I have no regrets. Not at all.
You know as well as pretty much anybody listening to this that I was forced similarly due to medical reasons to walk away from the business. And unfortunately, I can't be as positive as you because I have regrets, but the one thing I will never regret is the people I've met and the people that I did get to work with.
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, I can look back on the 10 years and I'm not going to regret anything. I'm not going to regret the matches I was booked in. I'm not going to regret the companies I was booked for. It's more of a reflection for me and realizing how low I started and wrestling in front of 10 people and 50 people and 100 people and 1,000 people and 6,000 people. And for me, it was progression. And I didn't want to be that wrestler that stayed stale. And you watched me wrestle 5 years ago, and I'm still doing the same damn moves from 5 years ago. I was always trying to evolve. And, I mean, from some of the guys that have reached out to me in the last couple of days, I realized that I evolved. I wasn't the same guy that they met at the Sorg or wherever they met me at Saw or at 1CW or at in any other company that I worked, whether it was Ram or wherever. My game evolved. I stepped my game up. I wasn't this guy that I'm going to kick you in the gut and suplex you in the first minute and a half of the match. It was psychology and telling a story and making a person invest in your character enough to where they believe this guy's an asshole or this guy's a prick or this guy's so much of a guy that I want to boo him so bad because I hate him so much. And even when I turned, even when I became face, it was still about the performance and the art and not just going out there and doing moves and flippy flopping and, doing a bunch of high spots just to get a crowd reaction. It was about getting them to that reaction, whether it was a collar and elbow that, went to a wrist lock to a hammer and elbow or, collar and elbow back to the side headlock, whatever it was. It was all about telling a story, and that's what wrestling is. It's a theater of violence, and it's all about storytelling. And I watch a lot of indie wrestling and see guys that they don't get it. You know what I mean? Like they still wrestle the same style they wrestled 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and haven't evolved, and they're doing the same tired old moves. They haven't, advanced in their repertoire or nothing. And that was one of the things I didn't want to be. I wanted to be that guy that when you saw me, I did something different. You saw me evolve. You saw, man, I've seen Magnum wrestle 8 years ago, and I'm seeing him now, and he's incredible. And that's what I always wanted. And I didn't want it to be that way. You know what I mean? I always wanted to stay fresh, and that's the way I want to be remembered.
From when I had to walk away in 2014 to, and this is about you evolving, to when I was able to come back to a show in 2017 and saw you wrestle for the first time in about 3.5 years, I could not believe how much your style had evolved. I was thoroughly impressed with how much you had evolved in just that amount of time. And I've always loved watching you wrestle. I don't think there's any secret about that. Anybody that hears me talk about you, they know I love watching you wrestle.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I mean, honestly, it was one of those things where I just happened to fall in the right place at the right time. I mean, I'd been around. I'd been trained by James Radford, which a lot of people know as Kamala Jr., and I bounced around and kind of taken pieces of knowledge from each person that I'd been around. I mean, I learned some things from Cody Hawk and, Kenny Kitchens and just a lot of the guys, Mark the Maniac, Mark Mustang, and Ledbetter, and just like a lot of the guys that would give me the time of day, or if I asked them, about an idea backstage, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, but how does that sound with this and this and this after that? Or, you know, whatever idea, you know, you're kicking around when you're putting together a match. And, you know, there were certain guys, and, you know, there was Ryan Michaels and just certain wrestlers that I respected, like, you know, Eric Fallen and Hooks and just certain guys, Cody Hawk and, you know, guys that I respected in this business that I would just kind of go to and just like, hey, this is what I'm thinking about. What do you think? And it wasn't about me or my ego or about me, you know, doing what I wanted to do out there. I always wanted to do what made sense and what would make sense to the crowd, because you can do all the flips and, you know, the moonsaults and the 450s and all that, but if the fans don't get how you got to there, you know, I mean, as a wrestling fan, you should understand, like, if the fans don't get how you got there, why would they understand what you do after that? And it was always, for me, one of those things where it was all about psychology and making things make sense. Because in my earlier career, it was all about doing moves and getting your shit in and, you know, getting your moves over and going back to the house. And as I evolved, it was more about, okay, these fans want to see a show, and they want to have a story, and they want to be able to follow this story to the end and understand it to the end. They're different than any movie you watch or television show. If the show don't make sense, you're going to stop watching. No different than if the match doesn't make sense, you're going to stop watching. They're going to start booing. They're going to start saying boring or whatever the fans say. And for me, it was always, it'll always, even now that I'm retired, it's always going to be about the performance. And as a fan, those are the matches that get me, or the matches that you can tell these guys went out of their way to make sure the performance was worth you paying your money. And that's what I was always about as a performer. Like, I don't want to go out there and just phone it home and have a, you know, a BS match and just kind of do whatever we got to do to get to the finish. I always wanted to tell an awesome story, make these fans believe my character, whether I was heel or face, and, you know, just sell to the other guy and make the other guy look just as good as I did. And not just be about myself, because there's so many guys on the indies that they're about themselves and about getting their, you know, their moves over and not about getting you over. And I've dealt with that for the, you know, 10 years and seeing guys that were about getting their moves over and getting, you know, their character over and not about getting us over and getting this match over and getting the characters that we are presenting to these fans over. And I it took me a while to get it on that level, because for the longest it was about me getting myself over. The first 2, 3, 4 years of my career, it was about what can I do to get myself over? What can I do to get, you know, Mark Magnum over? And after, you know, that fourth year, it was kind of like, okay, I'm getting the business. I understand it's not about me and solely about me. You know, it's just about, it's a story, it's a ballet, it's two guys going out there, or three guys or four guys, however the match is constructed. And making sure that, you know, this is a story that gets told in a way that these fans will get it and they will buy tickets next week and the week after and the week after and the week after. And that's where that's kind of how I look at the business.
You know, that you and I are very similar in that fashion. I think it has to do with the age thing.
Probably.
We're only a few months apart in age. Could you ever see yourself working backstage for a promotion, if asked?
I mean, part of me loves the storyline part and developing angles and, you know, developing stories. But honestly, a part of me knows that would kind of give me the itch. That would kind of give me the itch to want to get back in the ring, being around it, and the smell of it, and the sound of it, and the feel of it. It kind of make me want to still be a part of it, and not just being a guy calling shots backstage. I don't know if that's ego talking, or just, you know, I mean, it could be sour grapes, because I feel like I could have done more in this business than I've done. Either way, it's one of those things where if I did that and if I went to the product side of it and did the production, part of me would want to kind of still be in there. And that's no different than
why, like, I've had a couple fans hit me up saying, well, you'd be a great manager. And, yeah, probably would, but part of me would want to stick it in there. And part of me wants to remove myself from the business altogether and just not be a part of it in that avenue and just watch as a fan and appreciate the promotions I appreciate and watch from afar or watch as a fan, but not actually be a part of the production side of it or the managerial side of it or reffing or commentary, even though I think I'd be awesome on commentary. But, I mean, just part of me just feels
oh,
like
you
I,
would be amazing on commentary.
I mean, part of me just would, I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud, like I would just kind of remove myself from all of it to insulate myself from wanting to come back.
I can totally understand that.
Because trust me, I don't want to be done. It's just it's a kind of a have to than a want to. So, I mean, that's where I'm at with it. And, I mean, it's more precautionary because, I mean, trust me, if I wanted to go, I probably still could. But like I said earlier in this interview that, like, I walk around in pain on this earth every single day. And my back kills me every single day. And then working the shoot job and kids and wife and life and everything that comes with that, I mean, it's just like I don't have it in me anymore to do that. If it wasn't for a wife and kids, maybe. But with a wife and kids and life and bills and just everything that comes with that is just kind of, it's time. Like I said earlier, I don't want it to make it sound like it's time to grow up or anything like that, but it's time for me to realize my time in the sun has come, and I shined as long as I could, and I enjoyed my time in the spotlight and the people that allowed me to be there and book me there and give me the chance to do whatever I could do there. And that goes to any promoter that's ever booked me, from NWF to DCW to 1CW to Saul to Ram to any other company that's ever booked me in, you know, Battle on the Border, you know, World's Best Wrestling, anything. Any company that I've ever had the privilege of working for in 10 years, I appreciate you booking. EAPW, wherever, you know, I appreciate you giving me a chance because you could have easily said no, and I would, you know, it would have been what it was, but you gave me a chance, you gave me a spotlight, I mean, and I would always be grateful for that. I mean, some of the wrestlers and the legends that I've had the chance to meet and talk to and learn from, and the Boogie Woogie Mans and the Greg the Hammer Valentines and the Buff Bagwells, the Elijah Burks, the Rob Terrys, just some of the people that I've had to meet, had a chance to, the Rhinos, and just some of the guys I've met along the way has made everything that I've done worth it, even on the level of meeting them as a fan. Not trying to mark out, but I mean, just being able to meet them and, you know, see that they're just like I am, that just love their business just like I do. It's an honor, and it's a privilege, and I am happy to have been a part of the fraternity that only a few of us get to be a part of.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure, and you know what? I'm going to extend this because I know I'm going to go over.
We usually do.
You talked about watching as a fan. Are there any, well, specifically, I'm sure you, as every other wrestling fan, has heard the buzz about All Elite Wrestling.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that particular promotion?
I personally think it's great for the business because it's, I don't want to say it's competition, but it's another interest. It's another company you can watch, no different than Impact, no different than, you know, Ring of Honor. I mean, it's another company that I can keep my eyes on, and wrestling's not stale anymore. Not to say that it's like that, but I mean, if you watch WWE, it is what it is, and you've only got so many companies in the United States that are running on that level, and, I mean, I've always appreciated Cody Rhodes. The Young Bucks, they're the Young Bucks, and I appreciate them, but not like I do Cody. and to see that he's trying to go out and venture with a bunch of people to make another promotion, I mean, honestly, I think it's great for the business. It's not going to hurt the business any. I mean, I think it's going to be great for the business, and it's going to get some of the guys in WWE and other companies that aren't getting utilized properly and get them a chance to shine in the spotlight. That's what I think, personally. Like, it's not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think if you're going to see guys that aren't getting utilized right on the main roster on Raw or SmackDown or Ring of Honor or whatever company we're talking about, and give them a chance to go elsewhere and be utilized properly. So, I mean, I think it's awesome. I think it's something that might change the tide, so to speak, in wrestling. Because, let's be honest, wrestling kind of got stale. We're seeing storylines that have kind of, you know, been over and done over and done over and done over again, to where it's kind of like, we need something fresh, we need some new bodies, we need something to infuse life back into wrestling. And not just the McMahon saying, you know, we're going to shake things up or whatever. We need something different. And I look forward to watching to see what happens. Honestly, that's just from my perspective.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think getting Chris Jericho to sign with All Elite Wrestling was probably the biggest signing they could have gotten, because that is a major theft from WWE.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things that are going on. I mean, they're offering out big dollar contracts to get guys. So, I mean, as a whole, I think it's good for the business, because it's another outlet to watch wrestling. Because if you're tired of watching what WWE's doing, or, you know, Impact's doing, or Ring of Honor's doing, there's another choice other than watching New Japan or any other company. I mean, this is a company that's going to be in the United States. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where guys fall, because you've got a lot of good tag teams that aren't getting utilized right, and a lot of singles wrestlers that aren't getting utilized right. So it's going to be interesting to see where, you know, in all these various, you know, vast amount of companies that are going on, that where some guys fall, even some indie guys. I mean, you're going to see indie guys maybe never heard of that are going to get shots. And it's going to be interesting to see how all this happens and how quick it happens, because I know they're talking about a TV deal and all that. And I mean, like I said, I always think competition is good, because it makes everybody compete at a higher level. So we'll see what happens.
Well, their first event is, I want to say May 25th.
I think it was May. Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say it's May 25th in Las Vegas. And I can't wait, honestly. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, if they can amass a good roster and a decent talent pool, yeah, I mean, easily. And the way things are going in other companies, you know, up north, so to speak, or in our case, off east. But, you know, I mean, if there's a lot of guys that aren't getting utilized right, and it's going to be amazing to see what a Zack Ryder or whoever, you know, a Ty Dillinger or whoever that decide to go, you know, can do elsewhere, because there's a lot of guys that aren't getting utilized, right? Or they're not getting enough TV time or whatever the case may be. And like I said, it'll be kind of intriguing to see where that goes, because as a wrestling fan, you know, there's certain guys you watch and know they've got the talent. It's the matter if they give you the ball. And that's kind of the same way my career was. It wasn't about my talent. It was a matter of whether they would give you the ball to run with it and go with it and see how far you could run with it. And not just, oh, well, because you're this guy or you're that guy or you're a third-generation wrestler, we're going to give you the ball. Let's give it to this guy that we don't know nothing about, has no link to the business, and let's see what happens. And with a lot of what's going on right now with this, you know, AEW, is kind of like, it's intriguing. It makes a lot of true wrestling fans wonder what are these guys going to do with a talent that's not getting used properly, and how is it going to go forward? Is it going to be entertaining, or is it going to be a giant cluster? You know what I'm saying? So who knows?
Absolutely do. But My friend, I'm about out of time again, so I want to thank you for coming on here again and giving me this interview. Like I said, I wish the circumstances were different.
Oh, yeah, I wish we were on here on happier motives, but, you know, like I said, it is what it is, man. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, have sour grapes. It is what it is. I'm fine with where I've been, and I'm happy with what I've done, and I'm more than proud to have met anybody that I've met because of the business. So I'm fine with walking away. Like I said, it could have been on better terms, but at the same time, I'm cool with it, man. It is what it is.
Yep. Well, all I can say is it has been an absolute pleasure, and I, like I said at the very beginning, consider you a friend for life and a brother.
Well, definitely
plan on
brother.
Keeping in touch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I appreciate you ever backing me and being my agent and, you know, having my back and having enough stock in me to go and put your name out there on my behalf. So, yeah, I appreciate you, Ace, Colin, whatever. So I appreciate you as a person for sticking your neck out there as many times as you did to try to get me booked other places, because I know before I got booked on Battle of the Border, you were the guy that was trying to get me there. So, you know, and other places. You got me other bookings as well. So, I mean, I appreciate your work and what you've done, and I appreciate your due diligence in trying to get me booked and everything that you've done for me. So it hasn't been forgotten, brother, and I love you.
I love you too, man. If you're ever out this way, swing by. If you don't have my number, I'll give it to you. I know you know where I live. If you don't have my number, I'll give it to you off the air. If you don't have my number, I'll give it to you off the air.
All right. Trust me. Either way, I know where you live. Just so you know.
I know you know where I live. And
it's all good, brother.
Any pay-per-view, you're welcome. I'd love to have you guys. Your wife and the kids.
Awesome, dude. Sounds good.
So, but like I said, I'm out of time.
All right, brother.
I will talk to you soon, my friend.
Yes, indeed. It was a pleasure.
Have a good one. Always
you
is.
Too.
Have a good one. Good night, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mark Magnum. One last time on Matt Chat. Can't believe I just said that, but like he said, it is what it is. And that's all I've got to say. I'll be back here tomorrow night. 10:30 to talk about Hulk Hogan, AEW, and some other hot topics in professional wrestling. Have a good night, everybody.